Hear this word of the Lord from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. It's been almost 2 years, I believe, since I did not preach from the pulpit or the center with a camera focused right here. We are trying to relaunch many different aspects of ministry, and I have been forgetting some of the small details. Like, we have got the acolytes started once again with our confirmands, and they come out of that door back there when someone remembers back there to flip a switch, and a red light comes on so they know when to come out. So this morning's acolyte was a little nervous, and I walked back there and walked through everything with her once again and went back, and we came in to start the service, and the candles weren't lit because I forgot to have the red light turned on. I was also supposed to warn the person doing live streaming this morning that I was not going to stand in the pulpit, but I was going to walk, so I apologize for getting that note, but I was also told they're used to having me go back and forth, but the important thing is if you're live streaming, you really don't need to see me, okay? But it's been a couple of years since I have not been in the pulpit, primarily trying to help live stream and be connected and those kind of things that way. But also it takes a little bit more courage to come out here and look at your delightful faces and think about when I look, the brain is amazing. So I can think about soccer games when Bill was just a child. Oh no, that was your grandchildren, wasn't it? Or I can think about different things I know about, all good things, and I could lose my train of thought. Or does it actually make sense when I just work off of an outline? But somehow I prayed for courage this week and I tried to work extra hard to be ready. So here we go. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands about who uses social media and who detests social media. But like everything in the world, there are positives about social media and there are negatives about social media. And when I get in conversations with people about social media, most of those conversations are negative. Well, I want to give you a positive from social media. I am going to be sharing with you a devotional that was placed on social media. It was written by a teenage youth who was on a bus coming home from a game, and her phone had died, and so she couldn't connect, and so she decided to spend that time in prayer. And after she finished with prayer, she asked her friend if she had a charger so she could charge her phone. And then she wrote a devotional about that. I don't know the young lady. I would never have come across this devotional if it wasn't for social media. So there are good things that come from all of that sharing that's out there. I want you to just kind of keep that in mind, because for this, to me, how I got a hold of this, it's a God moment. That God led that person to write this, God led the person to share it, and somehow I was friends with the person that shared it, and I got to see it. I printed it, and I put it in my file. And it came up for this particular Sunday. God moments. Ordinary days, ordinary occurrences, but through the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, they become God moments. God can speak to us in very obvious ways. God can speak to us in not so obvious ways. In what our part is to be looking for those God moments in our lives. We have to be alert. We have to be watching. We have to be listening for those God moments. We have to train our hearts and our minds to always be aware of God's faithful presence with us. And I want to give you some examples. I even forgot to tell Tom to put the first one up, but he already did there. Good job for the number two. Has anybody seen this verse recently, Jeremiah 6:16? Anybody read that recently? That was the sermon scripture from last Sunday. But you just didn't happen to remember that. I probably would have forgotten it too, because I get involved in so many different studies and things. I forget what I preach on 2 weeks ago. But this one I remember, and I probably will never forget it again. I preached on it last Sunday. It's not one that I have preached on before, and I don't regularly read Jeremiah 6. But we were talking about ancient paths. And as I was preaching last Sunday on this verse, I was thinking about it in relationship to my brother-in-law, Paul, who had died the Thursday before last Sunday, because he was one that cherished the ancient paths. He loved to come home to Archbold and visit. He loved to come in and walk around St. John's. He was young when this place was built. And he liked to talk about the Reformed heritage, the Reformed theology, the history of St. John's Church. And so I was preaching on this, thinking about Paul in the ancient past. Thursday, we were at the memorial service in memory of Paul, and his son-in-law spent time sharing about many different aspects of Paul's life. And he shared Jeremiah 6:16, because this is a verse that Paul cherished because he enjoyed knowing and following the ancient paths. So as I was there at that service, I had a God moment, because I am trained to look, I have trained my heart to look for them. Next picture. Can you tell way in the back what this is? When you see a God moment, send me a picture. This is a picture of a praying mantis. It is on a roof that is being constructed, and I have evidently trained my son to send me pictures of God moments. So Ryan is working on a roof, and this praying mantis landed on the OSB. Ryan snapped a picture. I tucked the picture away in my phone. I'm thinking God moments. Whatever day he sent that to me, last week or the week before, a couple of days later, I saw a squashed praying mantis on a local sidewalk. Where Ryan saw it, was careful, I hope. I didn't really verify. It did fly away, so it was safe. But somebody else kind of squashed on one, didn't even, it was just a big bug. A praying mantis. Whenever I see one, which is rare, you know, the way they have their front appendages, you know, that's why they're called praying mantises. Whenever I see that, I am aware of God's creation. It becomes for me a God moment, remembering how my parents taught me to love nature, and hopefully I've passed that on, or we have passed that on, because the next picture is a rainbow. Friday night, Lynn and I were headed out to Mommy, and as we left our home in the pouring rain, wondering about all those football games. I know some were delayed. Some of you got wet, I'm sure. But we were in that nice, safe car. But as we were driving, looking at the rainbow that was pretty much over your house, I think, we got a call because Ryan had headed the other direction, and he was calling us to say, hey, did you see that rainbow? Again, the praying mantis and the rainbow, we've trained him to look for these things. And we know that we love to talk about such God moments. And Friday's rainbow was bright, and it was short-lived, because then we went into the downpour. But every time we see a rainbow, as people of God, we are to remember the promise of God's faithfulness of the first rainbow. So God moments, the everyday, ordinary things that we do that suddenly become a moment of faith for us. So this young lady was on the team bus. She was coming home after a game. Her phone had died. She had no distractions, and she felt the urge to pray. And so she prayed. And following her prayer time, she asked her friend for a charger. And her friend got out her Chromebook that had a cord connected to it, and so she could plug her phone in and let it charge. Now, if you've ever charged your cell phone, if it's completely dead, it takes a while before you can use it. So this teen had the Chromebook and the cord and the phone on her lap, and as she waited for the charge to be enough to power up the phone, she was reminded of John chapter 15, verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I can picture this young teen having her eyes on the Chromebook and the phone in that cord that connected them. That was her God moment, enough that she shared that in a devotional for others like myself to see. But then she went on talking about that cord, actually either cutting it in two or disconnecting it or not finding it in her friend's bag. That charging cord is cut. That represents that time, those times when we're drained, when we've expended all of our energy and we're tired, when life has been very difficult and we don't know what to do next. Those times when we can be so down or so alone that we don't sense any connection with God in those moments. And it's in those moments that we have to remember it's not a smart thing to try and handle those moments by ourselves. There are times when we can think, we've got this, we know enough, we can handle this on our own. And it's in those thoughts we have to remember that's when we need God the most. When we are relying on our own thought, our own connection, we could be in great trouble. And we also have to learn when that cord is cut, without God, without being connected to the Lord, we're lost. And as we read John chapter 15, we have to remind ourselves, be aware that God wants relationship with us. God wants us to plug in. God wants us to remain together with Him. He wants us to call upon His guidance. So we have to plug into the source. Now I want to look at verse by verse, verses 1 through 8, kind of with a picture image study. And so we want picture number 6 up there of the vineyard. You're good, Tom. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What is the purpose of a branch? Do you ever sit under a tree? What is the purpose of a branch? Jeremy, did you come up and answer for Ryan as to why the leaves are falling? Yeah, okay, see? Good job, Dad. It's the cycle of life, isn't it? Autumn's coming. The purpose of a branch is to grow. The purpose of a branch is to bud and to leaf and to be fruitful. Whether that's apples or pears or acorns or seeds for vegetation in the world, the purpose of a branch is to grow and to produce fruit. And then in that verse, it talks about the pruning. Now, I was told that I have to change some of my plans for retirement if that ever comes. Right now, we have a new property next to our home, and I have staked out 8 or 10 places where I'm going to put fruit trees because I want to get into growing fruit. And I have two holes dug, and there's six or eight more to go. And someone after 8 o'clock said, in retirement, I suggest you do not want to plant more trees. So I might be optimistic about what I want to try to do. I have been trying to care for a couple of apple trees in our backyard for 25 years or so, and I've not done so well. So I have to read up a little bit more. You can't just plant the tree and expect fruit. There's care involved, and I have to study a whole lot more. Well, when we talk about the purpose of a branch and pruning, that we have to prune the tree so it's even more fruitful. When we think about ourselves, the pruning that God gives us is through His Word. It is through the Word of God. God's Word condemns sin. God's Word inspires holiness. God's Word promotes growth. So the pruning that we are having in our life through our study of the Scripture, we come across those sinful behaviors that are not accepted in the holiness of Scripture, in the holiness of God, and we have to prune those out of our lives. That pruning comes from the Word. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. John 15, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It is the word of Jesus that cleanses our hearts. This is John 15. Back in John 13, Jesus had told them, any of you are clean, though not every one of you. When Jesus was at the foot washing of his disciples, there were the clean and there was the one who was unclean. Because in the heart and the mind of Judas, he was not thinking properly of Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but he was consciously planning how to betray his Lord. And so here in 15, when he says, you are already clean, he's reverting back a couple of chapters to that situation with Judas. And because of that uncleanliness of Judas, he had been cut off. He was an example of a branch that was cut off. So you are already clean because of the word. We get cleansed. We get cleansed through God's word. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When I cut that little branch off yesterday, it was vibrant and green, and I put it in my truck, and I realized how hot my truck was yesterday, and so I had to pull it back out. And I left it outside, but then I knew if I didn't put it in my truck last night, I would drive away this morning without thinking about it. And I couldn't imagine how much it had withered in just those hours between the time I cut it at maybe 2 until I put it in my truck at 10. And how much more it withered this morning. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long for us to wither if we do not focus on our remaining in the vine. The imagery is so vivid. We're going to go to the second last picture because I skipped those other three. He's right on target. I got little notes here, but I keep forgetting. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That aspect of the pruning, those things that are branches of our lives that are not helpful, that are not healthful, they need to be pruned and not picked back up, but burned so that they are no more. That withering and that pruning can take time. It can be a slow process. We have to remain connected. Last picture, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, So if I, as a Christian, remain in Jesus Christ, and as I continue to sow his word in my heart and in my mind, I can ask whatever I wish, and it will be given to me. You can't have the second without the first. So I am not going to be praying for a huge bag of peanut M&Ms, because that's not what he's talking about. I'm not going to be asking for that boat that I have desired for decades, because that's not what he's talking about. Now, if you've been praying for a boat for a reason to share with family and friends, that could be very in line. I just wanted to be out on the water and kill time and not do anything. I figured out there I'll be safe from any phone calls, that kind of stuff. But we're not going to go there. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. I'm going to ask for more ministry. I'm going to ask for more volunteers, more partners in faith. And I know over the course of time, as we remain connected as a congregation, God will continue to lead. And then verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I've been overseeing the construction of an addition at the Friendship House. It was supposed to be done a year ago. It didn't get started until April, and it's supposed to be done in August, and it's still happening. And what we're doing, what we're kind of waiting on, is there's a bunch of contractors in our area that have fit their part of the project into their already busy schedule. Many of them are doting labor or materials, those kind of things, and I am being forced to be patient and waiting, because they are so busy trying to help people that things just take a little bit longer. But those people are bearing much fruit. And the things that they normally do, and also for the fruit of the ministry of the Friendship House. Sometimes it just takes time, and we have to be patient. And as I continue to be thankful and praying for those contractors, their schedule has synced up beautifully with my schedule. Because if we had tried to stay to the schedule I produced in May, I never would have gotten fitted in either. So again, as we pray, as we remain faithful, the Lord works it all out. So this young lady that wrote the devotional based on John 15:4, how do we remain plugged in? How do we be recharged? How do we recharge ourselves? And it's amazing what she wrote. I don't know if I've heard this before or if I've said this before. Can you hear the sarcasm in my voice? Daily reading of the Bible. Is that new? But she wrote with desire and devotion. It's not an obligation, but it's something that we yearn for. With desire and devotion. Daily prayer. And I'm not talking when you wake up, before a meal, or when you go to bed. Daily prayer spontaneity. Spontaneously. When you have a God moment, praise the Lord. In prayer, be with the Lord. And then gathering with other believers. In worship, in study, in service, to gather with other believers is how we can remain plugged in. Daily reading, daily prayer, fellowship with Christians. To the glory of God, amen. As you think about that image on the screen, I will prepare for having the ushers come forward by having you just think about the ways that God has connected with you through the resources of this church or the other church, other churches you've been a part of how he has supplied for your need, so that we might share our blessings, our offerings with others. I invite our ushers forward. Thank you. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your fruitfulness to us. And Lord, we bring these offerings to you, offerings of resources that hopefully can strengthen our faith and will strengthen others as you shower your word upon us all. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing and we will sing our closing hymn. It is found on page number 382 in the hymnal. It is Be Thou My Vision. And then please remain standing for the spoken benediction and then the benediction and song. And the benediction and song is To Be Like Jesus. And it is found on page number 384 in your red hymnal. So let us sing Be Thou My Vision.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.